I find that doing the show in the buff helps me be more truthful about my Apple opinions. Oh, Leander's here, so we got to stop comments like those. Hey, Leander.
Hey, have fun.
Are you going to be able to stick around for the whole show? We're talking about a lot of your pieces. So, okay. So, you know.
Well, you don't need me there for that, do you?
No, probably not. I was just going to slam on them, and I wanted you to be here while I did that. So, yeah. Hello! Welcome to the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah, and we have a mega panel of guests today. I'm, of course, joined by the very attractive, elegant Mr. Leander Caney. Hey, Leander.
Hello, Erfan.
Buster Hein is here as well, Buster.
Hey, man.
Alex Excelsior Heath. We wouldn't do the show without him. Well, sometimes we do. Hey, Alex.
We wouldn't do it except when we do.
And we're also joined by a very new guest with wonderful mutton chops. I'm, of course, speaking about the Stephen Hackett from the Prompt podcast. I almost said that right? Hey, Stephen.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Man, I wish I could pronounce it Stefan and you'd be okay with that. Because it reminds me of Stefan Urkel.
I would sound fancier, so that, you know, that'd be a thing.
I won't do that, though, because as one with an unusual name, I'm very sensitive to how people pronounce names. So, welcome, Stephen Hackett from The Prompt. You're also the writer of the 512 Pixel blog, right?
Yes,
sir.
Did I say
that right?
That's right.
It's not plural, is it? Pixels?
It's got a little pixels. French. You kind of have to put your hand up in the air when you say it a little bit.
I like that.
Exactly.
So does Leander. He wears a beret pretty much full time, something people don't know about him. We got a great show planned for you guys today. We're going to be talking about this just wacky rumor about Apple buying Beats. Or is it wacky? I don't know. We're going to talk about that, and if we have time, we're going to jam in some expectations of the next OS X from WWDC. I think we're going to have time. We'll see how that goes. Before we jump into all the juicy tidbits for this episode, I want to thank our sponsor, lynda.com. That's LYNDA.com. You guys know I love lynda.com. They have over 2,000 high-quality video courses taught by industry-leading experts. With lynda.com, you can master virtually any application all on your own time and at your own pace. Learn all you want for free for 7 days with a free trial. Head on over to lynda.com/cultcast. That's LYNDA.com/cultcast. Thanks for sponsoring, Lynda. And you know what? I also need to ask you guys for your help. We have a little survey going right now that if you'd be willing to go fill out, it takes about 5 minutes. It would really help us out a lot because, as you guys know, we have sponsors on this show and we want to make sure that we're running the right kinds of sponsors and bringing on good sponsors that you guys might actually want to use and benefit from and aren't going to get annoyed hearing about. So if you head on over to podsurvey.com/cult and fill out the survey there. Not only are you going to be entered to win a $100 Amazon gift card, but you're going to be helping us out. And, you know, we won't be broadcasting sponsors like fannysgirdles.com or
Andy's ice cream,
Witzel's pretzels, you know, all that stuff that you guys don't want to hear about. It helps us identify that stuff. So, podsurvey.com/cult. And thank you all for taking the time to do that if you decide to do so. Let's start with the big story this week and part of last week. And that is the Beats and Apple partnership. Well, I should say acquisition. The rumor is that Apple is going to be buying Beats for $3.2 billion.
Ain't nothing but a B thing.
Baby. I almost went into a Tim Cook impression there doing a rap, but I'm going to skip that for your own benefit. So you might be asking yourself, is this happening? Well, I want to read you this little tidbit that our own Leander Caney wrote on one of his excellent pieces that he put out this week. It appears to be a done deal. First reported by the Financial Times, the deal has been confirmed by Bloomberg, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, And even apparently the DR, the Dr. DRE himself on, was it like Tyrese's Facebook page?
Tyrese.
You can't make that up on Tyrese's Facebook page. A little video leak was posted of them celebrating, spraying champagne all over ladies of the evening. So we'll talk about that. But Leander, do you think this is a done deal? Is Apple buying Beats?
Well, it's been confirmed by all these different media organizations.
Everyone except for Apple themselves.
There's a few exceptions, I admit. But, I don't know. It looks like it's a done deal. I mean, everyone's, sort of saying that it's in the bag. And then, of course, there was, Dr. Dre celebrating. That seemed pretty conclusive right there.
Yeah, he was. And didn't he literally say... Yeah. I'm the first billionaire in hip hop.
Yeah, yeah. He did.
And they were talking in this video on Tyrese's Facebook page about how it's a done deal. The news had been announced, even though it hasn't. And Dre seemed to be pretty happy. So it seems definitely happening.
I think all the reports I've seen is that he wouldn't actually make $1 billion.
Right, he'd be worth $800 million, just shy of a billion.
Oh, how will he survive?
I don't know.
We could have gotten this story at the CES party if we would have approached Dre.
But wasn't he making out with Lamar or whatever?
Yeah, right. Well, I was standing right above him. He was too busy making out with this chick.
Well, golly. Before we actually proceed with this news, I want to mention, Leander, you wrote a lot of stories this week about...
I'm on a roll, yeah.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say huzzah to that because I love your writing and I'm glad to see that you're doing more. Are you planning on doing more writing on Cult of Mac, or is this kind of like a temporary thing?
No. It's totally back to, back to business because,
Sorry, go ahead.
I neglected it the last year, for a little while, working on all these other projects and concentrating on different things.
You were writing your book for a long time. I know that was Hell on Earth.
Right. Yeah.
Birthing Johnny Ive, the genius behind Apple's greatest products.
Yeah.
Available at fine bookstores near you. And then Buster, didn't you also kind of get a small promotion?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Dude, congratulations.
Thanks, man.
So now you're the news editor?
Something. No.
Is that your official title?
I don't even know what it is. It's whatever Leander wants it to be.
Lead news blogger.
News blogger, writer, announcer.
Yeah.
You're going to need to get an extra large business card. Well, congratulations. That's awesome. And Leander, seriously, I saw all your pieces, and we're going to be talking about several of them. And I thought it was awesome that you are actually putting out content again. So that's really cool. If you guys want to see any of Leander's pieces, head on over to cultmac.com. Okay, so let's continue with the talk about Beats. I was truly, truly baffled by this. I thought it didn't really make a ton of sense. And a lot of people were speculating on if this acquisition was happening because maybe Apple is trying to revamp their music service. Maybe they wanted the Beats streaming music service that seems to be doing okay. Seems like they have 111,000 subscribers.
What?
Maybe not great.
We've got more subscribers to the Cultcast.
Yeah, maybe Apple could acquire us. That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah, right.
But Leander, what do you think it is? I know you wrote a couple pieces on the topic. Well, what do you think this is all about?
I think it's about getting into... it's probably multifaceted, and I think there's a whole bunch of things that they're interested in, including the iTunes music service. But maybe they're doing AOL and Facebook is doing. Facebook's buying up all these apps, Instagram, and it's branding these. It's not putting the Facebook brand on all the apps that it owns. What was the name of the messaging one?
Poke.
AppTap.
Oh, WhatsApp.
WhatsApp. So WhatsApp and Instagram, they have all these different services. Maybe Apple's doing that with the accessory market, where they own all these different accessory companies, under their own brands that are sold to their stores. But I think it has more to do with Apple getting into wearables and turning more into a fashion company. And I know this gives some people the heebie-jeebies because they can't stand the idea, of Apple turning into this sort of high street fashion brand. But, I think there's a lot of... I think this is one of the major clues that they're going to be doing that.
I was reading one of your pieces, and you talked to... I think it was one of the former Apple designers. What was his name?
Robert Bruner.
Robert Bruner, thank you.
Yeah.
And he kind of laid out three points of design and what Apple kind of followed when they were designing new products. And part of it was to make things give you this really cool feeling about yourself and about the product. And didn't he end up designing the first pair of Beats himself and kind of built that philosophy into these things?
Yeah, so Robert Bruner was the guy that built Apple's industrial design department. He was hired back in the late 80s, and he ended up hiring Johnny Ive. And then when he left a couple of years later, he recommended that Johnny Ive take over the design department. Then Steve Jobs returned, and the rest is history. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the way that Apple works now, you know, the industrial design department is at the very heart of Apple. That's its innovation factory. That's where all the new products, the iPhone, the iPad, the iPods, that's where it all comes from. You know, it's all driven by this industrial design department. And the way that it was set up had a lot to do with Robert Bruner. So he went on and worked, you know, for a couple of... he set up his own design consultancy called Ammunition, mm-hmm. that designed the first Beats headphones, initially for Monster. They were, for Dr. Dre, and he partnered with Dr. Dre and Iovine, but they worked with Monster initially for a couple of years. And then they, you know, sort of branched out on their own. They brought the brand back. So, you know, he knows a lot about design, industrial design. And he argues that Beats is the most successful wearables technology company in the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've getting people to wear your technology. I mean, they invented that whole $300 premium headphone segment, which is now worth
trying to try to copy it and have been unable to. Sorry, go ahead.
Right. Yeah, exactly. They can't break in because they don't get what Beats gets, which is like, you know, constantly refreshing the products. And it's about fashion. It's about, you know, he said the most important things was like, you know, how it made the user feel. You can't be made to feel like a dog. Mm-hmm. It can't be embarrassing. It's got to be something you want to wear. And if you notice that a lot of people who wear Beats, you know, they wear them around their neck.
Yeah.
Even when they're not listening to them. Mm-hmm. It's got to have a specific function. It's got to do something, you know, and it's beyond like all this sort of connectedness. Just being connected isn't enough anymore. It's got to have a specific function. And of course, headphones, you know, and Beats headphones especially, add a lot of bass to your music. And I know a lot of audiophiles hate it, but, you know, for a lot of music, it sort of gives it that extra emotion. So, you know, if Apple comes out with a wearable, it's got to do something really specific, you know, useful. It can't be just like, you know, he was saying this like with an iWatch. You can't have an iWatch that just shows you text messages. I don't think anyone's going to buy that. It's got to do something more than that. You know,
it's
maybe
called the Galaxy Gear, and it's on Woot for about $80 right now.
Oh. Right.
Steven, do you have the Galaxy Gear?
No.
Okay. I was like, am I being too hard on it? Or are you going to be the guy who actually is like, yeah, it's awesome?
Yeah, no.
You're going to be the guy.
Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting. Like, I would argue that Apple has been a fashion company for a long time. Look at the iPod Mini. You look at the, you know, the phenomenon of white earbuds on the subway. Like, maybe I can't help but think they're trying to go back to that. Not that it's new, but they're trying to rekindle what they had, you know, 6, 8, 10 years ago with the iPod.
I love Bruner's point about how it's not really so much as what the wearable like does for the person, is how it makes them feel.
That is a fashion statement right there.
Yeah, and that's totally what Beats is, because Beats is like it's a $14. It costs Beats like $14 to make a $300 pair of headphones. Like, they're not.
I have a hard time believing that's true. I'm not saying that
you're wrong. No, it's true. The technology
is
not
crazy.
The technology is not that amazing, but they've managed to convince people of like a way that it makes them feel. Impressive.
And also, like, in all the research I did for about, you know, the design studio, that's exactly the conversations that the Apple designers have when they're coming out with a new product. The first thing they talk about is not the specs, the hardware, the different capabilities of the technology. It's about what will this product make its user feel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they invent this sort of design story, the design narrative, and they did this with the iMac, the iPod, iPhone, iPad. All of those, you know, that was the starting point, like the emotion and the experience.
Well, Bruner won't come over to Apple if Beats is bought, will he? Because he's like a contractor, right?
Well, he runs Ammunition, and I imagine that he's going to be, you know, fairly well off after this himself. But
if he's not already.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he's probably doing okay.
He is doing okay. They've got a beautiful office right down on the waterfront.
Have you been there?
Yeah. I went and did a video down there.
Like your own kind of like music video type thing?
No, I was thinking of you for a video that they put out.
Oh, gotcha.
And he was the one who invited me to the Kendrick Lamar conference at CES. So unfortunately, he wasn't there, so I didn't get a chance to talk to him then.
Well, he knew you were coming.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely want to continue this conversation because, Leander, I'm curious to hear if you think this was just kind of like an acquisition to, you know, increase Apple's, you know, fashion forwardness. But before we do that, because we have a lot more to discuss on this topic, I do want to thank our sponsor, Lynda.com. Leander, do you know what?
Yeah, please don't say.
I love Lynda. .com. That's because I love to learn, y'all. I love to learn new things. I love to learn new apps. I love to learn about photography, and I love to learn about new business skills. All these things that Lynda.com can teach you are going to help you in your life. You could potentially get a new job. Maybe you could learn Photoshop and become a designer. You could take some of their design courses and learn how to do design. You could learn how to program in PHP or Ruby and leave that job that you have at Hot Topic and go be a developer. Yes, it's going to be a lot of hard work, but Lynda.com will walk you through step by step, and you can create playlists of topics that you want to learn. For example, if you wanted to be a front-end designer, you could learn how to do CES, I'm sure, but CSS would be more appropriate, and then HTML. And before you know it, you're going to have the skills to start doing some front-end design, and maybe with some hard work on your part, you create some prototypes, and you get a job as a front-end designer. Lynda.com has over 2,000 high-quality video courses that you can learn from. They're all learn at your own pace. You can revisit them at any time. They're broken out into these really great segments that are very digestible by really experienced and professional instructors who make learning easy. I've used Lynda.com myself to learn Lightroom, Photoshop. In fact, whenever I want to learn a new application, it's the first place I go. Try it out. I think you're going to like it. Go to lynda.com/cultcast. That's Lynda. /cultcast. You're going to get a 7-day free trial. You'll have access to their entire catalog, no holds barred. You'll learn whatever you want free for 7 days. And if you like it, you can subscribe for $25 a month, and that gives you unlimited access to everything in their catalog. There's a reason I always say I love Lynda, and I say it jokingly, but it's true. I love Lynda.com. Lynda.com/cultcast. I want to thank you, Lynda, for sponsoring this episode of the Cultcast. Okay, back to Beats. Let me ask you guys this, actually. What is it about Beats that you think people love? Because from what I've been reading, they own 60% of the market as far as high-end consumer headphones are concerned. I have a feeling that has a lot to do with Dr. Dre's street cred. What do you guys think the magic is about Beats? Because I'm not really sure I understand it. Steven, Leander, Buster, Alex, yeah, somebody.
I mean, I think there's...
Somebody speak. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, it took, you know, before Beats, high-end audio equipment. I'm using air quotes, like, as I'm talking, because some people, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the quality of Beats headphones, and I'm not here to debate that. But it added a cool factor. It added a sexiness to, like, high-end headphones that weren't there before. Like, I've got, like, studio-style, you know, big, expensive, bulky headphones on right now as we record this. I'm telling you, like, I wouldn't want to walk my dog around the block wearing these because people are going to, like, stare and point, think that I'm crazy. Mm-hmm. And it sort of took, you know, all the nice things about big over the ear or on ear headphones and turned them into like we talked about earlier, a fashion item. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that really struck a chord with a lot of people who wanted something beyond earbuds but didn't want to look dorky at the same time.
I have a theory. As one who really loved Dr. Dre's The Chronic album, circa, what year was that? Like 1997? One of the best hip-hop albums of all time. I think Dr. Dre was perfectly poised to release a product like this. He has so much street cred, and I realize how ridiculous that sounds coming from me. But as one who also has an enormous amount of street cred, yeah, I can vouch for him. I mean, people like Dr. Dre. Like, he's a legitimate artist. He's a fantastic producer. Well, he's a great rapper. He's not like 50 Cent, who, in my opinion, not really the best rapper, who releases his own product and it kind of fizzles. No one really cared.
We're definitely the most authoritative panel on this. Five white guys. One of who
five white guys talk about hip hop. Welcome to the Cultcast.
Well, they team up with everybody. I mean, he's had so many celebrity endorsements. I mean, in the early days, you know, Jimmy Iovine was photographing all of his friends in the music business with the Beats headphones on. And then since then, every six months, they have new special editions. And a lot of it has to do with sports franchises, sports teams, but also different artists and also, you know, like graffiti artists, skateboard stars, you know, all the sort of X Game types. So, you know, they're reaching out to almost anybody and everybody with some celebrity.
I think it's Jimmy. How do you say his last name?
Iovine. I thought it was Iovine.
I really think he's a bigger part of the deal than Dr. Dre. I think Dr. Dre is more of a face. I think Iovine's the guy that actually has the real cred and the connections. I've read a lot of interesting stuff about him and how he could be beneficial to Apple.
So let's talk about...
They're both rumored to be joining as executives.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Can you imagine? Dr. Dre. So there's a rumor that Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre are going to come out on stage at WWDC. He's going to be like, hell yeah. He's going to grab the mic from Tim and push him. And he's going to start rapping. Tim goes to get up a hat on and turn it backwards and start bumping his head.
OS 10 Yosemite trigger.
but seriously, that's going to happen. Let's talk about Jimmy Iovine. So he is going to be reportedly brought on as a special advisor to Tim Cook on creative matters. Interesting.
Just like, what was the name of that singer who went to Blackberry?
Keys.
I think it'll be a lot different than that. It sounds like he's actually going to, like, have you, like, watched interviews with him? The dude's really smart. Like, he pitched Steve Jobs, like, basically what is now Spotify, like, in 2003. And Jobs was famously against music streaming.
But now they're playing catch-up.
Yeah, and he was a huge proponent of it even like before the iTunes Store. He was the first record label executive to get on board with the iTunes Store. He convinced most of the other labels with Jobs to get on board. The dude has been at the forefront of the music industry for a long time.
CEO of Interscope Records, right. I should mention.
Which his contract ends with them in the fall, which would give him, you know, which would be that probably when he transitions over to Apple. But I even read somewhere that it could give Apple the opportunity to become its own music label.
That seems like it could be a natural next step.
Right. And there's talk of like Apple's bringing him on to completely revamp their whole music strategy. Which
they could call it Apple Records, Leander.
Yeah, right.
Why not? I don't think that's taken.
Yeah. I mean, but do you guys think that he can pull? I mean, he's a super smart guy, but do you think he can pull that off? I mean, you read reports all the time that the music industry feels handcuffed by Apple.
Well, I think that might be the point of bringing him on is that, yeah, they're scared of Apple, but it's that industry is, I mean, just like Hollywood in general, it's so based on relationships and who you know. And he is like the most well-connected man in the music industry.
He's got serious swagger.
You know, Apple is scary as a company to these executives, but if you've got him all of a sudden saying, hey, you know, kind of vouching for them, I don't know, things could change. I mean, I think it sounds like licensing is a big reason that Apple hasn't been able to do what it wants to do with music, and he might be the key to that.
I think it's potentially, in that regard, it's exciting because Apple needs help with their music streaming service. They need help with their music business in general. They need someone to come in and really help them bring it into 2014, 2015, 2016. Spotify and RDO and companies like that are kind of eating Apple's lunch in that regard. I don't really know in 10 years how many people will be buying music as opposed to streaming it. Mm-hmm. And if you could bring in a guy with that much credibility and experience in the music industry to help you revamp your service, I mean, this could be a major win for Apple. So Alex's point, I mean, maybe he is why they're buying the company.
Or even Beats Music CEO, Ian Rogers, who's another, you know, music industry veteran. And I watched an interview with him from a few months ago when Beats Music launched, and you hear him talk and he sounds like he already works at Apple. Like everything he says is so Apple-like and like the approach that they have with Beats Music. And he's like, you know, he's like, he was talking about how music streaming has already become established as like the next platform for music delivery, but nobody's really done it right yet. And nobody's really, like, we have the pipes, but we don't have the curation that it needs. And he's saying that's what they're trying to do with Beats Music. And it sounds like a very Apple approach. Apple doesn't do the, you know, they're not the first ones to move to a market, but they are the ones that get it right. And it really sounds like that's what Beats Music is trying to do.
I've had mixed, you know, success with Beats playlists. Like, you know, mm-hmm. some of them have been okay. I've not really discovered anything that I've really gone crazy for.
Right.
You know, I mean,
you're a Beats Music subscriber, aren't you, Leander?
Yeah, yeah. And so I've been playing around with a couple of the playlists, you know, like checking them out. And the ones that I know, you know, where I know the music for, well, I thought I knew the music fairly well. Like, I didn't like the choices. They're too weird. You know, like I was listening to a Breakbix playlist and the music they chose, I didn't think was really very good. But then I've listened to a couple of hip hop playlists. Like, you know, I didn't really know. There were some good ones about with all the members of the Wu-Tang Clan and all their different projects. So I was listening to like, who was it?
Oh, his bike's back.
Yeah, sorry.
Back on the bike. And you have a lot of motorcycles go by that office. Jeez.
It's on a quiet street, too. I don't know why it's so noisy here.
Sorry, go ahead, Leander.
But I've read some other stuff. Some other people are going crazy for Beats online. Like, I read a couple of appreciations today, this morning. You know, this one guy was just saying it was the greatest thing ever.
Their music playlists are curated by people, right?
Yeah.
They're not digital like Spotify.
They have like a couple dozen veteran like radio DJs, like the last big radio stations in the country, like people that founded a lot of the big stations and networks. They have a lot of really good people that
are all doing. Casey Kasem?
I'm not sure.
Leander, do you know if they have Casey Kasem?
No, I don't think they have Casey Kasem.
Casey Kasem had cancer or something like that.
Okay, sorry. My bad. Maybe they don't have Casey Kasem here. Ty Lordy, who's ready to listen to some Beats?
But they're using those people to like reach out to like Pitchfork and all of these other, you know, curators that are already working directly with these small labels, and they're trying to get them to
Trent Reznor was the sort of curator in chief for a while.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think he still is.
Yeah.
At where? At
Beats Music.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Wow. Man, they are good about getting influencers. One of the things I was reading about with Jimmy Iovine is just how he would partner with influencers. That was a big part of their strategy, is he would carry these beats around with him and just give them out to people, you know, just like candy. He's like, boom, you get some beats, like everyone's own personal Oprah. And he would get them into people's hands, and then eventually they would use them, and he might get a picture of them wearing them or something like that. And of course, you know, if you get these into the hands of an influencer, they show them off to the people who are into them, and, you know, all of a sudden you have access to this whole new tribe. So that's really smart.
But they don't seem to. They've chosen some weird influences, as far as I can tell. Like, you know, Trent Reznor accepted. You know, they had like the Pitchfork guys. I don't know. I always hated Pitchfork. I couldn't stand the music they chose.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like if you look at what's going on in the music in the States at the moment, like it's EDM, right? Dance music, and they got all these mega DJs, and they're taking over these. They're doing these huge, you know, multi-day concerts in Las Vegas. Diplo and the like, those guys aren't on there. They'd be natural, guides to music because they're right there at the forefront. But I don't see any evidence of that going on.
I've always wanted to go to one of those big electronic festivals and like paint my whole body like neon yellow.
Yeah.
Put on some like crazy rainbow colors and go to one of those things.
Yeah. And it's a lot of fun.
That's not your average
weekend. Leander's like, yeah, I've done that. Yeah, it sounds fun. I'm still trying to get the neon pink off of my body parts. Let's talk about headphones with music streaming built right in, Leander. This is a piece that you wrote, and you were basically saying that in the next 5 to 10 years, perhaps these headphones could become devices that don't need to interact with your iPhone or with your iPad. They would just literally be streaming music directly through the device.
Right.
You think that's where we're headed?
Well, I had this conversation at CES, right, 2013. Remember, what was it, Showstoppers or Pepcom, you know, mm-hmm. where they have all these different brands. They set up tables to show the press their rares. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking to the guy from Soundfreak, Michael. And we were looking at his Bluetooth speakers. And, you know, they were nice, but there was like one in the hundreds of Bluetooth speakers. Everybody had a Bluetooth speaker there.
Yeah, they were everywhere.
And he's saying, you know, well, you know, within a few years, you're going to start to see these things turn into more like radios, and they're going to start, you know, they'll push music to you. And they'll have services like Beats Music, streaming music services like Last.fm and Pandora built into a few buttons. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to go to your iPhone or your iPad. You don't have to choose an artist to listen to. You don't have to choose some playlist. You can just punch a button on the top and it'll come, you know, streaming in, just like the radio. Mm-hmm. So you'll have these presets. And I thought that made a lot of sense. And you're saying, you know, you could logically extend that out to all the different, you know, to a lot of different accessories, including headphones.
As you're describing this, you know what I'm thinking of? Those like those huge earphones from the 80s that had the giant antenna coming off.
Right,
of them.
Exactly.
Except you're gonna have an Apple logo on the side.
Yeah.
We've officially come full circle, everyone.
Yeah.
It's like we went to these smart devices, now we're gonna go back to just like the radio headphones.
Right, exactly. Nothing's ever new. That's exactly what it is. But the modern version of that.
I don't know. Buster, would you wear a pair of those roaming around Phoenix, Arizona in your b-ball games?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't really understand how like it would work that well. Like, how would you choose your music if everything was just built right into it? You know, like, I guess it would all have to be like voice controlled too.
You just have a friend follow you around everywhere.
your personal DJ,
yeah,
queuing up the tracks for you.
I mean, it's like you go out to dinner with your wife. You're like, oh, who's that? Oh, well, Dr. Dre's in the
booth. Ho, ho, ho! What's up? Yeah, that idea, it seems a little wacky to me. I mean, it just seems like we'd be going backwards, because like, why would you want to get rid of the screen on your iPhone? It helps you navigate through so much great content. I mean, look at Spotify, how many stations you could have, and all the complex browsing that you could do to look at new artists and look at new playlists. I guess it would have to be a dumbed down experience of that.
Well, right, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, you know, that's what he's pitching.
Leander, before we wrap up on the Beats topic, one of the things that you said in one of your pieces is you thought that Apple was going to be obtaining the unobtainable with their Beats purchase. Street cred, y'all! Do you think that purchasing Beats is going to get Tim Cook the street cred that he's long desired?
Well, the headline was a bit, you know, it wasn't exactly the point of the main point of the piece. But I think, they're going to bring that kind of. I think Beats is like the most successful technology company in fashion. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what they're going to bring to Apple. I think Apple is, you know, if you look at all the people they've hired, you know, the Andrew Arendt from Burberry and the guys from Nike and from Yves Saint Laurent, you know, I think they're going to be turning, they've got stores, you know, like in high streets all over the world. And I think they're going to be, you know, turning more into a high street sort of fashion/technology brand than just a pure technology brand.
It's an interesting thought, because bringing together all these, you know, wonderfully talented people from all these amazing companies where they were all, I'm sure, very well compensated. They've got to be doing more than just an iWatch. You know, I can't imagine they would be bringing all these people together to just create one product.
Yeah, this is a huge... It
doesn't seem like it would make that much sense.
I think it's a massive makeover of the company, and it's looking to the next, you know, the next sort of 10, 20 years, where that growth is going to come from.
And are you saying that's going to be coming from, like, fashionable wearables, I should say?
Yeah, but, maybe it's even bigger than that, because it's the whole Internet of Things. I mean, everything is starting to get connected to the Internet now. Mm-hmm. And even drugs, you know, like a buddy of mine that I go cycling with here, he makes a drug that you swallow that makes sure that, you know, if you take your pills, that your pills are getting absorbed into your, you know, into your bloodstream.
Really?
And it's going to come, you know, like there's a lot of home automation going on. There's huge, you know, there's a huge shakeup in the entertainment industry. You know, TV is changing. I think there are opportunities, you know, to put, you know, Apple technology to be the sort of platform for everything, including the car, you know, like iOS in the car. These are all just like these baby steps they're making. But I think it's, you know, the technology is mediating everything. And I think Apple wants to make sure it's part of that.
It's a smart strategy. I know it's one that Jeff Bezos has, CEO of Amazon, if you don't know who he is, has baked into Amazon, is to create these platforms that other people can build upon, because that's really where you make the money. Which is why Amazon has all these amazing platforms that you could buy, you know, like Amazon Web Services, Amazon Search. Now you can have them do all your shipping and fulfillment for you, because they've kind of like honed down the warehouse operations and stuff. So maybe you're right. Maybe that is where we're headed, where Apple's going to be a platform company.
Yeah, and Facebook and Google are the other ones. So
Yeah, I mean, Apple already is a platform company too, but I mean, they've always said that they're a hardware company. Like, they create these platforms to sell hardware, and I wonder if maybe that philosophy could change.
Well, I think they're going to extend it out to the Internet of Things. So it's going to go, you know, it's not just on your computer or your iPhone, but it's also going to be on your TV, in your home, on clothes, on, you know, on stuff you wear on your body. Mm. So it's going to be, the computing is bleeding into all these other different areas of culture. So
it's really true. Buster, you remember that internet-enabled basketball that we saw?
Yeah, yeah.
You were dropping that thing like it was hot. I think you were like 9 out of 10 shots in the hole. But that was so true for CES. Everything that we saw had a sensor in it to integrate
with the fork,
with an
iPhone, a toothbrush,
app.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, the fork was dumb. The fork was really dumb, yeah. That stupid Bluetooth fork that buzzed. And I think when you're eating too fast or if you ate too much, it would just shake in your hand.
Yeah. If you're shoveling it in your face. Yeah.
See, now I made a useful suggestion that they kind of disregarded. I was like, it should electrocute you if you overeat, and that would really kind of train your brain to eat less food. They didn't take me seriously at all.
I wonder why.
Yeah, now look where their company is. Nowhere.
They should hire you as creative director.
Yeah, I should be a special creative director
of
consultant.
Bluetooth fork.
Of the Bluetooth silverware. Utensils in general. Anything else that we should talk about on the Beats acquisition? The reason we wanted to devote so much time to it is because, you know, it's much more than just Apple's buying a headphone company. There is a larger picture here.
Well, it's Apple's biggest acquisition in its history, and it's very...
That's a good point.
It's very uncharacteristic of the company, and I've been waiting to see something like this because it seems like Cook and everybody keeps hinting at bigger acquisitions coming, like during earnings calls and stuff. They'll ask them about their acquisitions and they'll go, yeah, we've got some really big stuff planned. You know, we're not, you know, we don't have any like limit on, you know, we're not going to acquire this company because it's too much money or anything like that. I mean, obviously they have the money. That's not an issue, but they've just historically bought, you know, small companies, you know, 400 million there, you know, 16 million there, like these little startups. So this to buy, and I think the most interesting thing that will come out of this Beats thing is what they do with the Beats brand.
Because
Apple has never had like a subsidiary brand that they manage. And you know, like Beats was a brand under Monster at first. And so like, will it be like that, or will Apple completely absorb Beats, or will it only absorb Beats Music and keep the headphones branded the same? You know, that's going to be the most interesting thing to me to watch. Because I think besides FileMaker, which nobody has ever really even heard of except maybe a few people that listen to shows like this, Apple's never left another company running with its own name.
They absorbed them into Cupertino, yeah.
You know, FileMaker's ancient, so I don't even think we should count.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was still around.
Yeah.
Anyone else have anything to add on the topic before we move on? No? Speak now, forever hold your peace. Two other fun facts to your point, Alex, about this being the biggest acquisition they've ever made. I think the second biggest, if I remember correctly, Leander, was Next for $400 million.
Right, and that was back in 96.
That was back in 96, and of course, the CEO at that time of Next, one Mr. Stephen P. Jobs.
Does that mean that Dre will become
the next CEO of Apple? You beat me to the punchline. So... hope you guys like hip hop because Dre is going to be the CEO of Apple Computers. And also, from what I understand, Tim Cook gets to be in all future
music videos
of one Mr. Snoop Dogg, aka Snoop Lion.
They're shooting straight out of Cupertino next month.
Yeah, Cupertino. Crazy mother effer named Tim Cook.
Yeah, it's just about how his contacts don't sync to his phone properly.
It's going to be the most polite, family-friendly rap video you've ever seen. Okay, let's move on then. Let's talk about WWDC OS 10. Feature expectations. Steven, I'm going to go to you for some of this information. I know that you put together a big comparison on your 512 Pixels blog on previous versions of Apple's different operating systems. And I know you have some stuff to say about the new version, whatever they're going to be unveiling and some of those features. Do you want to just give us some ideas of what you think we should expect for the new OS?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's been pretty heavily reported that the next version of OS X is going to, you know, be more iOS 7-like in its interface. And so, you know, I kind of thought it'd be interesting to see, you know, you can better understand where you're going if you know where you've been. Mm-hmm. And Aqua, the interface for OS X has evolved. I mean, it's easy to think, well, you know, Apple's never changed the way OS X looks. But that's not really not true, but it's been very slow, and you really can't see it until you back out a little bit and compare like 10.4 to 10.8, and then you kind of see what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I totally buy into the idea that OS X is going to get flattened out. I think there's definitely some concerns around that. Like, you know, like, for instance, iOS doesn't have a convention for multiple windows at once. Like, mm-hmm. it's all, the window is the whole display. And, you know, OS X uses shadows. And it's like, what are they going to do there? Nobody knows. Mm-hmm. Probably something terrible that takes a long time to get used to.
But whatever it is, Michael Stieber will love it.
But, you know, so, you know, obviously with iOS looking so different from how it looked a year ago, Apple's not afraid to rock the boat. And OS X looks old. I mean, it's...
Do you think so? You think it looks old?
I think in places it really does. And especially compared to iOS, you know, if Apple wants it to be more cohesive, like with the, you know, if you remember like the, what was the event? Back to the Mac, mm-hmm. when they introduced Lion, you know, it was like all this stuff from iOS came to the Mac, and they've since gotten rid of all the, you know, linen and leather, and they made jokes about that on stage.
As did we on this show many times.
Oh yeah, gotcha. poor iCal, like poor little buddy. He didn't deserve that. And so I think it's time. I think they're gonna, you know, bring a lot of the white open space, sparse looking buttons, you know, that sort of text driven. You know, I think the system font is gonna change to Helvetica. I think that's all definitely in the pipe for the summer.
Mm-hmm. Any new features that you would like to see make it into the next version?
I would like mail to work. No, I mean, really, like the only software thing, and this is so dumb, the only software thing I want out of Apple this summer, I want AirDrop to work between my laptop and my iPad.
Yeah.
Like, yes. I'll just go home and be like, well, I'm glad I flew to San Francisco. I'll see you guys next year. But I really think it's going to be more about the interface this year, and I don't really expect any groundbreaking, like, technological shifts in OS X.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be very cosmetic.
Which is not to write it off. Like, that's a big deal.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big enough deal to warrant public beta, I think.
Oh, yeah. For most people, I would say that the visual changes from a marketing perspective are more important than under the hood stuff. Like, it should get more attention just naturally because people care about how it looks more than, you know, at first glance, more than how it works.
Yeah, it's sort of, I kind of view it, and I kind of imagine it being the inside out of what Snow Leopard was. You know, 10.6 was basically 10.5's interface, but they gutted it, and they dropped PowerPC support, and they did Grand Central Dispatch and all this cool stuff. And, like, as a nerd, like, I love Snow Leopard, but my mom's like, what, why? What's the point of this thing? No. So you're definitely right. And I think, as soon as you guys think about this, I think there's a lot of excitement around iOS, like, mm-hmm. much more than OS X. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think Apple would be foolish not to try to, like, bottle some of that up and bring it back to the Mac.
As long as they do it in a way that's appropriate, and I think this will happen, that's appropriate to the desktop experience. I think a lot of times when people think about, oh, they're bringing iOS 7 UI to the new OS on my Mac, they're going to bring along a lot of those features that may not make sense. I don't think we have any concern. I don't have any concern that they're going to do that. It's going to be appropriate, but it's going to be a lot of the UI look and feel, which I kind of have mixed feelings about. I do like iOS 7 a lot, but there are certain applications that I think are a little under-designed, like Calendar. I'm not a big fan of on iOS 7. I think it's just too plain. Did someone just go, oh?
Yeah, I did. I said it was bad.
You don't like it either. Yeah, I don't like it either. It's a little bit too plain. Well, let's talk about iOS 8 because we're going to be getting a glimpse of that, hopefully, at WWDC. And there were some rumors out, and there was a great mock-up that somebody did which I hope this turns out to be somewhat accurate, of multitasking, split screen in iOS 8. And it was really cool. This mock-up that came out showed how two applications could run in the same iPad window. I think this was reported by 9to5 Mac.
Yeah.
This would be super useful. And this is, of course, the feature that Microsoft always touts about their Surface, saying how much more productive you could be. It would be cool to run two apps in the same window.
Which is funny.
Right now, it's just like, what were you saying, Alex?
I was just saying this. The fact that this report came out is just funny because I have this on my iPad right now. I'm actually just reviewed a jailbreak tweet called OS Experience.
Oh, yeah.
That literally does this. And like I've got screenshots and stuff of it being on my iPad right now. And so I've been running apps side by side. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty slick tweak. Like it works very like natively. Like it doesn't feel weird at all. It's like you can use two apps side by side, move them around, drag the windows around. You can even snap them to the side of the screen, like the Surface. And I don't really like it, like, on the air even. Part of me thought, yeah, this is going to be great because I've always complained about how you have to jump in and out of apps, mm-hmm. but I don't think it works for this kind of a device.
It's the way it's designed or implemented that doesn't work.
Maybe when we start getting like 13-inch iPads and like stuff like that, like once they start converging a little more mm-hmm. with the desktop. But for right now on that screen size, I don't really see the point. I think the one window at a time thing actually works better, believe it or not.
Oh, interesting.
That's an interesting point.
I mean, it just gives you more focus. And you know, as human beings, we like to the way we've worked on our Macs, we like to multitask and do a lot of things at once. But how much do you actually get done when you're doing 15 things at once?
Right. I don't know, Leander. How does it work? How's it working for you?
You don't get anything done. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And so I think the one app at a time model that Apple's got right now in iOS actually is very good for getting stuff done.
One of the joys, isn't it, of iOS is the fact that it cuts out all that other clutter.
Right.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah. How did it affect battery life, Alex?
Not at all. I mean, really not at all. Because the hardware has gotten to a point, especially like on the 5S and the iPad Air, where it can handle this stuff. Like it's already practically running apps, you know, not visually, but in terms of memory side by side already mm-hmm. With like the A7 and an iOS 7. So doing it visually is really not an issue. Like the hardware is beyond powerful enough now.
Let me ask you guys about this, and then we should probably go ahead and wrap her up. Apparently, reportedly, high-def audio is going to be coming to iOS 8, and I guess that means 24-bit audio files. You'll be able to listen to those on any iOS 8-compatible device.
On my favorite, Makotokara.
Makotokara! I don't really understand... From a technical perspective, how much better this is than normal. I think 16-bit audio, which is the quality of audio you're able to listen to on your iPhone now, it's definitely not going to be Pono level. I mean, isn't that supposed to be 24-bit, like 192 kilohertz sampling, which is just like insanely crazy high? So higher definition audio is coming to iTunes reportedly again. I wonder how much difference this will actually make, because it doesn't really seem like it's going to be that much higher definition than what we're already getting now. Does anyone have any thoughts on this topic?
This has been rumored like a couple of times, I swear, since 2011. This one keeps coming up. I wouldn't really notice the difference, I don't think, but it'd be great for those audio snobs.
Yeah, Leander.
My Beats.
I'm not an audio snob, though.
No, you're not. But I know you like to jam out on your Beats headphones.
Yeah.
And they're super high fidelity sound. You know, what's funny about earlier is you said that the Beats are a little like bass heavy, but you know, like people like that about those particular headphones. And I'm like, yeah, you know, but they're called Beats.
Right, exactly.
It's kind of hard to not have a lot of bass when your headphones are called Beats.
Right.
Because that's kind of what keeps the beat, right? Is that super thick bass that Dr. Dre lays down in a room filled with blunt smoke.
Well, I turn up the bass, you know, like on a lot of my music anyway.
Do you?
Yeah, so it saves me doing that.
Even like on your classical records?
Well, yeah, I don't know, you know, yeah.
On your British punk rock?
Yeah, especially. Yeah, totally. I love the reggae bass stuff, so yeah, the heavy bass is really what makes it work.
Oh man, you're going to love this Apple Beats deal.
Yeah.
You're going to get so much bass in your high fidelity audio Beats headphones with iOS 8.
I got a new favorite, which I'll have to talk about next week. We had a visit from Grain Audio, who's this company based here. It's like a sort of startup. They did a lot of Kickstarter campaigns. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Like, sounded good, huh?
Yeah, the stuff they have is amazing.
Was it like that Pono video that we saw where he's like, Neil Young's like letting all his friends listen to the audio and they're all having like these orgasmic experiences?
Yeah, it was exactly like that. Exactly like that. All the stuff I got in my office now is junk. It's all rubbish. I'm just going
to blow it out. I'm going to put it all in the bin. All right, well, we can talk about that next week. But we got to go ahead and wrap it up there. We're way out of time. And you know how much we hate going over 30 minutes on this show. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. Hey, you know, if you want to hang out with us on Twitter, we would just find that to be divine. Steven, what's your Twitter handle?
ISMH.
Okay, great. So you can go follow Steven there. Steven, thanks a lot for being on the show.
You bet. It was a lot of fun. Thanks,
guys.
We'll
definitely have to have you back. And if you want to follow the rest of us lackeys, I'm at Arifon, Leander's L. Caney, Buster's BST3R, Alex's Alex E. Heath. And of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how to use the world of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. We want to thank each and every one of you, dear people, for listening. And we'll see you guys
next time.
I feel like saying it with a question mark is always appropriate.
Yeah.
Like, after doing this episode, we'll see how it goes.
There is going to be a next time?
Is there going to be a next time? We'll see how it goes.
Leander here yet?
I'm adding him.
Hey guys.
Hey.
Hello, Governor.
Are you guys already online?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like the last 3 minutes, we just kind of.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, but.
Yeah. You sound
like
a little distant.
Sounds like your microphone is in your room and then you're. Jeez. Like on the other side of the room.
You hear the fucking cops go by?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's
your input volume set at?
Hi.
Try turning that down. And then when you're talking, are you talking right into your microphone?
Yeah, it's right here. Okay. Yeah, you're right. How do I get an inch from it, though?
Well, what do you have it on?
Well, that stupid arm.
You just put it right in front of your face if you have it on the arm. It's like, well, a big old dong, like a Vegas show. Like, you know, when you go to the, you know, like when you go to Vegas and you pay some guy to shake his dong right in front of your face.
Just like that. Oh, okay. Is that better?
It just got a lot better.